What is the truth about the millennial generation? The new book, The Millennial Mindset, offers parents, educators, managers, and coworkers insights and suggestions on how to engage, prepare, and foster the millennial generation in all aspects of life. Through interviews with millennials and those who work with or otherwise engage them, Regina Luttrell and Karen McGrath offer ways for millennials to better understand older generations and their peers so they can coexist without animosity in today's fast-paced globalized world. They offer insight into millennial characteristics, passions, and goals for those who work with, live with, or otherwise coexist with millennials. Dr. Karen McGrath is a professor of communications at the College of St. Rose in Albany. Her interests include pop culture, media, gender, and race. Dr. Regina Luttrell is an associate professor of public relations and social media at Eastern Michigan University, where she researches, publishes, and discusses public relations, social media, and the millennial generation's roles, both in the classroom and the workforce. It is a great pleasure to welcome both Gina and Karen to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Hi. Yes, thank you very much for having us.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you, Karen. Great to see you as always. So let us begin with you, Karen. So how did you get this idea?
Well, actually, it wasn't my idea. It was Gina's idea.
So, Gina, how did you get this idea?
Well, you know, there are so many adjectives to describe millennials: lazy, selfish, unmotivated, disrespectful, overconfident. They lack work ethic. They can't take criticism. They expect to be the CEO the first day on the job. And I thought, boy, those aren't the millennials that I know. A lot of them are very hardworking, and they're smart, and they're bright, and they're motivated. And so I was like, I think we need to have a book that talks about that. Let's really research this generation and see what it's like, you know, when they're growing up, what it's like when they are in school, and then how all of that feeds into what they become as leaders and, in their careers. And so Karen and I have known each other for many years. She came out to visit a couple summers ago, and I said, you know, I got this idea. Do you want to write with me? And she said, sure. I think it pretty much went like that. We were sitting at a red light.
I once had a fascinating discussion with, I swear to God, I'll get to a point. but I once had a fascinating discussion with David McCullough and David Halberstam. And one was talking about working on history as it is unfolded over the generations, and another, David Halberstam, was talking about writing instant history, telling you about what is happening right now. We are in the midst of this, are we not?
Yes, we are.
Of this millennial mindset. So this is kind of a moving target, evolving relationship, let's say?
I would think so, because we see that each generation, I mean, while we give specific dates like, you know, 1982 to 2004, those are fudged lines. I mean, generations overlap because of what's been happening in the world. So when we say 2004 is a cutoff point for millennials, there might be people who are a little bit older who also kind of take on some of those characteristics, depending on their backgrounds, world events, how involved they are in the world. So I think that's fair to say.
So we've always heard, Gina, that, you know, where there is a stereotype, there is a it's often based in some truth. So what are the truths about millennials in that list, which is somewhat off-putting, that you mentioned a few moments ago?
It is, isn't it?
Do
you want to even meet a millennial if we say that?
Right. I mean, so what do we know? What is true?
Well, you know, in our research, Karen and I came up with these seven C's, these characteristics of millennials, and they're, and we can go through a couple of these, but I'll just list them off quickly. Confident, connected, committed change agents, contradistinctive, cavalier, and collaborative. You know, they are a confident generation, and sometimes when you're confident, you can come off as arrogant, right? You know, they have a very high self-esteem. They feel that they are very self-assured because, you know, they've sort of been built up to think of themselves as capable on all fronts. You know, how did this happen? Well, you know, sometimes it's the parents. Karen and I coined a phrase, snowplow parenting. So think of a snowplow, right? There's all this, you know, snow in the middle of the road, and it paves the way for a clear path. Well, many parents of millennials are this snowplow parent. They have this snowplow parenting method where, you know, my child's going to succeed, so I'm going to move every obstacle out of the way for them. So when they get to, you know, school and the workplace, you know, they have this confident air about them.
So
Karen, do you?
Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
No, I would just reiterate that. I think that we do see that oftentimes when you look at students who, and I say students because I work mostly every day with millennials, there's often this lack of ability to problem solve or to think critically. And I think it's because oftentimes they are introduced to the idea that somebody will come along and pave the way for them. So they are expecting to be able to jump over any hoop that's there because somebody will come in and clear the way.
So how much of it is an app generation in the sense of we used to know how to do things and how to open the map and to find out where how do you get from Des Moines to Toledo? And now you just open an app and that does that for you.
Right. We do believe, I think, also that technology has certainly assisted that process because I don't know how many times Siri is going to solve the problem, or Cortana, depending on
yes.
which phone you have. But to have somebody else do the work for you. But if your phone goes out, could you read a map? Right. I think some of those questions become
yes.
important. I think I heard a state trooper tell me once that when he's dealing with some of the incoming recruits, that it's very difficult to explain to them why it is they have to know how to read a map. He says, but I have my phone. But what if you're in the middle of nowhere? You're in a rural area and your phone doesn't work. You have to know how to read a map. And that's an argument that goes back and forth. So I think that we do see this across the board where if something else can do it for you, let it do it. But what if that isn't working?
Right.
And if you can't find it or do it right away, the frustration comes because there's no problem solving often that's accompanying the thinking process.
Gina, I mentioned at the beginning of the segment about this being a moving target and that we're living through this as we speak. How much of this do you think is the age of the people that we're talking about? I mean, my theory of aging is that we come into the world, we grow up, and then life just bats the hell out of us for a while, and then we mature and we grow up and we figure things out. At least
yep.
that's the plan. Does that
yeah.
seem to be the path that these kids are on?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess for some of them, you know, we have to remember we're making broad general swoops, right?
Right.
We make a broad general swoop when we say that they're lazy. We say the same thing when we say that they are they have a high self-esteem, right? So there's in the middle. But I think that, you know, one of the questions that Karen and I asked, because we did surveys and then we went on and we did in-depth interviews, was which generation do you most identify with? And, you know, I am a Generation X. But I think a lot of times I identify with that millennial generation because I use social media so much, and I am the person that uses Siri. Without Siri, I would be lost daily. I need my maps. I need my Google Maps. So, you know, I think maybe some of it is that they're growing up. But I think that, you know, we have to remember these millennials are going to become leaders someday. And so how they deal with things now is going to It does seep into the workplace.
It does.
Karen, do you want to talk a little bit about the leadership aspect?
Well, in terms of leadership, I mean, just even talking with some of the gentlemen before I was coming on air here, they were talking about how a lot of times millennials will come in and say, I'm going to be vice president, right? That's
right.
Where I'm starting out.
Yeah.
And I think the idea that they truly believe that they can bring something to the workplace usually centers around their knowledge of technology. And so when you're coming into a workplace where you have people who are Gen Xers, baby boomers, maybe even traditionalists, that at times you're going to have somebody who may actually know more about where something is headed. And they might be the millennials, but they may also be the boomers. So what we do is we actually propose that there's two different kinds of leadership that we would suggest might be more helpful in working across generations, because again, you might have four generations at one time working together. And that would be alternating leadership, where there are going to be some projects where the younger person coming in may be the leader on a project, because that's what you need. And that other people shouldn't feel threatened by that. And
yeah,
there'll
I
be
think
other
in the
times
workplace, there has to be a shift in
right.
You know, it's okay that, you know, you're 22 or 23 and you're leading a project. Right, but and so that so the older generations have to feel comfortable with these 22 and 23 year olds leading these projects, and at the same time, this younger generation also has to understand
the
that
way.
Yes, I need to be in the workplace to get to the next level. Right,
right.
I have to give my time.
And because seniority still accounts for something.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're not taking that away at all. In fact, that's why we're saying the book is directed at everyone.
Thank God.
It counts for something, and that's what I think we have to communicate very clearly to those coming into the workplace who are millennials, is that it does count for something, because oftentimes they think, well, they don't know anything, they're older.
Do you see how this could possibly progress of what we have in the next generation, what we're setting up for the next generation?
We do. Our last chapter in the book is on what we call NEOs or neo-millennials. And we try to think forward, right, trying to think about what they're going to be like. And we do think that technology is going to be even more of a focus. But also at the same time, there will be a call for them, I think, to have more face-to-face conversations. I think we're seeing hints of that. In classrooms, obviously, and in other places where they'll have Friendsgiving, right, where they want to see their friends instead of just texting all the time. They want to physically see them. So I think we're going to see a little shift again, just as generations, right, ebb and flow. We're going to come back around where there's echo boomers, which are the millennials to the baby boomers. We're probably going to see the echo Gen Xers,
right,
that want a little bit of both and try to find a balance.
Now, Gina, with you.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think we're all like Gen X, right? So,
yeah.
So, but when you look at, but we're still trying to figure out the baby boomers.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, and they're dying off and we're still trying to figure them out. So,
they're the rogue generation.
Right. So, I guess my point being is that we'll be looking at this generation for a while to
Absolutely.
See how this all works out.
Yes. There's
oh,
no
yeah,
end.
Definitely.
We have to look at every generation continuously.
Yes.
That's why we provide a historical context for major events in our first chapter that kind of identify how would some of these beliefs, practices, characteristics emerge and life events
happen. Yeah, and even the millennial generation is so large. You have younger millennials and older millennials.
Mm-hmm.
They even within the generation itself, they sort of separate themselves. The younger ones are about 11, 12 years old, and then the oldest ones are, in their early 30s. Mm-hmm. So even there, you have two completely different mindsets.
So let me get in. I want to be anecdotal for just
sure.
for a moment. So Karen and I, we both teach at the College of St. Rose and the communications department. Now, what I've noticed, and you certainly have much more experience with this than I do, but I went in thinking, just assuming that these kids were going to be really, much more technologically advanced than me, know what they were doing. But when I ask questions, again, this is anecdotal, but when I ask kids, how many, do you listen to podcasts?
No.
Do you, how often do you spend on your devices? Well, I text, but that's about it. I don't, do you get your news from it? No. And that surprised me, that there doesn't seem to be, for all this talk about technology, they're using a very small part of it, aren't they?
Yes, and they use that part very well.
Yes.
But it's very limited. And I think when I teach media literacy, I often will ask that question and about technology and, I'm tech savvy. And the first time they can't get to a particular search quickly, they get frustrated.
Right.
So they know about the technology. They know that if they sit with it, they can figure it out, but they don't like the frustrations of it. And they aren't using the technology in all the ways that the technology can be used to benefit them in so many contexts.
Which brings up the larger question then, who's using it?
Yeah.
So, Gina, when you look at this, the book seems optimistic.
It is.
It is, and I think that we are optimistic.
We are.
One of the interviews that we did with a young woman named Caitlin Tuzzolino, she just amazed me. She was very honest about her generation, and some of those negative characteristics that I talked about earlier, she attributes to them. She is the antithesis of all of that. She works full-time in a marketing position, and then on top of that, she has three or four other businesses. And so this is what I'm talking about, that I do see that, there are good things on the horizon for millennials and neo-millennials, the ones coming in after that.
And the rest of us will just have to be patient.
Patience is a virtue. Yes, absolutely. But millennials also have to be patient. They have to recognize that we do bring, previous generations do bring something forward. And at no point in history, I don't think we could ever find a generation that said, I want to be just like my parents or just like my grandparents. We are always looking to be complete opposites. And that's just not how it works when you look at generational research.
And there's always that butting up against
absolutely.
Generations.
It's part
and
of growing
friction.
Up.
Right. And, yeah. and, But I like the optimism.
We are really optimistic.
Yeah, that's good. Well, the book, let me tell you about that. The book is The Millennial Mindset, and it is now out. It is published by
Roman and Littlefield.
Roman and Littlefield. And you can find out more information by going to our website. We do have a link to the book there, and you can find out more about the millennial mindset. Dr. Karen McGrath is a professor of communications at the College of St. Rose in Albany. Dr. Regina Luttrell is an associate professor of public relations and social media at Eastern Michigan University. And again, the name of the book is The Millennial Mindset. I thank you both for being with us. A great
thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Stay for cocktails. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.